First reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 8. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favours." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." Thanks be to God.
We join in prayer. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As many of you will know, I spent a couple of weeks back in the summer walking across England, the coast-to-coast walk, and in the middle of that walk, high on the hills above Kirkby Stephen on the Yorkshire-Cumbria border, in mist and rain, I met some shepherds. Actually, I wasn't so much met them, but I became aware of their presence, largely because of the sheep, great flocks of sheep on both sides of the road, bleating and baaing and bounding backwards and forwards, up and down and round over the soggy ground. And they were being followed by two sheepdogs. I'm sure you've all seen an episode or two of One Man and His Dog, so you know how it goes. And you've seen how it's done, crouching and running and changing direction in a flash and chasing stragglers to keep them all together. And eventually, the herd was shepherded, there's no other word for it really, shepherded into a dry stone fold just by the side of the road as I stopped to watch. And as I waited there for a few moments to catch my breath and enjoy what was going on, two shepherds appeared. Well, I heard them before I saw them, not so much because of their calls, which were very loud in impenetrable shepherd speak with a Yorkshire accent on top, but because of the sound of their quad bikes. Shepherds on quad bikes. Well, hill farmers, really. I'm sure if I was a hill farmer in the north of England, I would use a quad bike as well. A couple of days later, I was camping in a camping barn on a farm in the Lake District, and on the wall there was an old photograph of a hill farmer with a shepherd's crook in one hand, wearing a tweed coat and looking out on the distant hills. And you could see the hills all around, of course, and beautiful dry stone walls running up and down the impossibly steep slopes, and sheep bleating faintly high on the crags. It was a bucolic scene. And I thought to myself, I'd climbed those hills quite a few times over the years, and more recently on that walk as well. I thought to myself, what would it be like to have to climb those hills to herd sheep every single day? And those lovely dry stone walls, they didn't just get there by accident, they were put there by hill farmers, by shepherds, who spent years patiently lifting stones into place and fitting them all together over miles and miles, and climbing the hills in all weathers, over rocky ground and boggy ground and soggy ground, and edging along precipices to reach stranded sheep, and digging them out of snowdrifts, and lugging bales of feed. If I was a farmer or a hill or a shepherd, I'm sure I would use a quad bike as well. Anyway, down they came on that occasion, out of the mist, tracking the flock, calling. And they were doing in 2016, albeit using quad bikes, much the same as shepherds have been doing the world over for thousands of years. The Lord's my shepherd. How romantic. Not very much romantic about having to get up at 4 in the morning and climb 1,500 feet every day. Not very romantic having to drag a herd of a couple of 100 Herdwick sheep one by one through a sheep dip. Not very romantic in the middle of a Lake District winter to be a shepherd, or for that matter, to be a shepherd on a Palestinian hillside. We don't hear very much about shepherds except at Christmas, yet still, all over the world, as down thousands of years, they are, you might say, the unsung underwriters of the world's economy. The wool trade brought great prosperity to towns all over England, Wiltshire, Somerset, towns across the Midlands, in the north and England as well. Our landscape, our townscapes, our very geography owes a great deal to shepherds. One of the very few facts that I remember from school geography lessons was about market towns, such as Evesham and Stratford and Warwick and Worcester and Tewkesbury and many, many more across the country, all of them about 12 or so miles apart. The reason they are about 12 or so miles apart, as I vaguely remember, is that half the distance between a town like Evesham and Stratford is about as far as you could make it herding a flock of sheep or a herd of cows, in one day in order to take them to market. The Lord's my shepherd. Probably it is the same the world over. Probably the towns of Jesus' time, Bethlehem, Jericho, Emmaus, Bethany, Jerusalem in the south, Nazareth, Cana, Nain, Tiberias in the north, grew up at distances apart depending on how far a shepherd could herd a flock of sheep in a day. The Lord's my shepherd. And I guess it's probably true across much of the world, in Africa, parts of Africa, South America, Europe, the Antipodes, different kinds of sheep, different farming methods, long before anybody came up with the idea of a quad bike. Our world owes much, the way it looks, the way it's built, because of sheep and shepherds. The Lord's my shepherd. But what about sheep? Smelly, awkward things. Lovely at a distance. Nice at lambing time, woolly and cute and cuddly, but up close? A friend of mine once spent a night on a winter hillside in the Lake District in a one-man tent, and he told me that he turned over in the middle of the night and snuggled up to a warm body. Only in the morning did he discover that it was a sheep which had lain against the outside of the tent. And he never managed to get rid of the smell. I crossed lots of fields with sheep back in June. Let me tell you, they are not very cute close up. Their wool is dirty and mandled. There are droppings everywhere. They are smelly and they have sharp horns, and they look at you with those slitty little eyes as if you shouldn't be there. Which in my case, on more than a few occasions, would have been true, given the parlous state of my navigation. To be a shepherd of sheep might be a time-honoured occupation. It might be nice at Christmas, especially with a pretty tea towel round your head, but in the real world, it is dirty and dangerous and distinctly dodgy. The Lord's my shepherd. Shepherds in Bible times were hard men. They were casual workers. They were scraping a living. They followed the work from place to place. They were regarded as the lowest of the low by respectable society. Maybe with quad bikes it would have been different, but then they were lumped in with the criminals and the recalcitrants of every kind. When Luke wanted to make sure that we understood that the miracle of God's coming to us in Jesus was for you and you and you and me, he made sure that shepherds were center stage. The Lord's my shepherd. If we only had Luke's story, we would only have shepherds, oh, and angels. No wise men, no Herod, not many of the familiar Christmas trappings at all. Just shepherds. The Lord's my shepherd. And angels. A multitude of the heavenly host. The Greek word is an army. An army of the heavenly host. The laborers of Israel's sheep-based economy were overwhelmed by a sign so amazing that it took a great army of the heavenly host to do it justice. A very few hard hillmen huddled together for warmth and safety saw something that would blow the mind of any of us. What did they do? Wouldn't have been surprised if they'd made for the nearest pub to drown their fears. Couldn't have blamed them if they had slunk off into the hills or made their way to the fleshpots of Jerusalem. Luke could have tarted it all up. He could have put in a lawyer for a bit more accuracy, or maybe a merchant for a touch of trustworthiness, or a priest if he'd wanted a little bit more religious respectability in his story. But no, all Luke gives us is shepherds. The Lord is my shepherd. And what did they do? This is all we have to take from this story for our purposes in Advent. We began last week with Mary going to be counted in the census. We heard about the age-old hope of the people to be raised up in a world where often they were done down. This week, shepherds. I wonder, probably they weren't counted in the census. Too lowly for that. Casual. Cash in hand. Nowhere to call home. Following the work. Thankless. Friendless. Rootless. What did they do? Let's go now to Bethlehem to see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. Let's go. Let's not run away and hide or ignore an experience that no one would believe anyway. Let's go. If all we had for Christmas was Luke, shepherds, sheep, hardship, suspicion, criminality, the world into which Jesus was born, the world that welcomed him, if that was all we had, and a vast, immeasurable sign of the glory of God, what would we do? Run away and hide? Try to get a bit more information? Tart up the story to make it sound a bit more plausible in a sophisticated world? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. Let's go. Let's go.